In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In speaking about the fulfillment of the law, there was not a greater than John the Baptist. Now, this is not to take away the dignity from the other prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of the prophets. They had great honor, they had great respect, and you know, some of them met very horrific ends. It was written that some were sawn to pieces with a wooden saw. Because that would prolong the agony. It would be harder to do it before the evisceration took place. It's a completely, the mind that can conceive of such tortures is a mind that is in of itself being tortured by its own lusts and its own desire for preeminence. And I tell you this because when you start to think about how we spend our lives, I don't mean to harangue you all the time, but I think an admonition is much better than an approval. So if I say to you a word that uplifts you, you carry that temporarily, and it may have the opposite desire that I have for you, which is it extends your ego past where it should be. As a matter of fact, in our church, it is the custom never to praise anybody while living, only after they have passed and they are beyond the devil's temptations. But if I give you a word of warning, of admonition, then I can give you something that is a clear sign of danger, so that if you are wise enough to recognize it, you will move from it. Now think about the frivolous nature of our lives. If I just talk to you about the frivolous nature of my life, because maybe you will see a part of yourself in me. You know, I have 8 different pairs of athletic shoes. I've got a blue pair, I've got a red pair, I've got a gray pair, I've got a black pair, I've got a white pair. I've got a gray and black pair, I've got an all-black, another all-black pair, which are high tops. Why? Okay, I'm wearing beneath my galabeya, I'm wearing an Under Armour shirt. You may have Fruit of the Loom or Hayes or Hanes, or something like that. But I have a bunch of them. Now the why there is pretty self identifying. I'm lazy to do wash, so I would rather have like 21 shirts and then have to wash them every 3 weeks than have 7 shirts and have to wash once a week, because the process takes the same amount of time. But we have a very frivolous life. Think about a woman when she's getting dressed to go out to some place where it's semi-formal. She has to make sure that she has what is called an ensemble. An ensemble means the shoes match the purse. The shoes have to match the purse if you're going to a formal place. And she might be wearing a skirt and a blouse and a jacket or a sweater. They have to match. She has to be appointed with some jewelry, but not too much. You know, it requires a lot of care. And the face has to be made up a certain way. God forbid a woman to go outside without makeup on her face. There's a time, like you young ladies, you don't have makeup on your face per se. Some are playing a little bit with eye makeup already. But for the most part, you don't. But the nails are going and the toenails are going. They may be all chipped up right now, but you're starting to work on this. Why? Regular fingernails aren't good enough for you? Now, I'm not saying this to pick on people, but I'm trying to say that when they're talking about John the Baptist, they're talking about somebody whose life was so austere that he wore camel's skins for his clothing. Now, I don't know when the last time it was that you put your hands on a camel, but I want to tell you that the camel pelt is rough. It is not smooth. It doesn't feel good next to your body. It's not like the goat fur that you get from that province called Kashmir. You know what a Kashmir sweater is. You know how much a Kashmir sweater costs? Feels really good against your body too. He wasn't wearing that. He was not wearing that. And around his waist he had a belt, just a leather belt. What did he eat? Grasshoppers. The grasshopper that spits the juice on you if you hold one. You know, I've eaten a grasshopper or two in my day because it was a fad to eat insects at one point, and people were thinking about these as alternative ways of making a grain substitute so that you could make bread out of cockroaches. Doesn't sound very tasty, does it? No, I heard somebody say no. And trust me, it's not something that if I read the label and it says made from cockroaches and grasshoppers, I'm going to be thinking that I'm entering into the labors of John the Baptist, personally. But this is what he ate all the time. He didn't care about what he looked like. There was no Saint Marina with a comb. He was in, you know, standing in water and, you know, waist deep in the Jordan and baptizing people, saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come and repent your sins. Come and confess to become ready to receive the King." Now, some people heard his voice and saw his life. And you know, they had read all of the stories of the prophets, and they knew their biographies and all of those things much better than we do now. And so they yielded, in many cases, to this word. Okay? Now, these are the people that you would, in the analogy that's given here, or the symbol that's given here, these are the people who are mourning to you. John the Baptist is mourning to you. He's living this austere life. Grasshoppers and honey. Well, the honey part sounds okay, but too much honey and you get a really bad headache. So you have to have the grasshoppers to go along with it. And the grasshopper that I had, by the way, was fried in oil and spiced. So it was more like a French fry with, you know, some hard parts than it was, you know, a gooey grasshopper that you just picked from the field. But that's what he ate. Then on the other hand, you have Jesus Christ coming, and he fared means he ate, he fared sumptuously. He fared many times in the houses of the rich. You know, if a bishop comes, you know, or to our diocese back in the day, way back before we had our own ruler of the diocese, His Eminence and the Serapion. In December of 1995, he was installed. Before this, when bishops came, and it was usually on, you know, a trip, like when you hear about the President of the United States coming to California and going to Silicon Valley or going to Hollywood, you know why they're going. It's not because they want to meet movie stars and see people that are involved with high tech. It's to collect money. And when they go, they will be in the presence and in the home of the richest of them. And what do you think they're going to be eating? The best thing ever. And Jesus went to everyone's home, irrespective of whether they were rich or poor. But the Pharisees could point and say, "Look, he's drinking wine. Look, look what he's eating. He's eating dainty meats." This is a word that is used all the time to describe expensive food in the paradise of the fathers. Dainty meats. Yeah, he was eating those things. But the joy of him being in that didn't cause other people to turn. So with the image of the Lord being very social, not respecting persons, but going in to a rich home or a poor home alike without discrimination, and then John the Baptist leading a life of almost, you know, total isolation, except for when his ministry started. And his ministry, John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the ministry started just around the same time when maturity took place. So you have these two elegant sorts of reaching out, and no one of the Pharisees and of this very entrenched Jewish nation came, at least not in large numbers. We know the names of those who did, and of course they are the exception that proves the rule. If you can name, I heard this said by a black comedian, if you can name your black friends and you're a racist, because there's so few you can name them, right? So if you can name the people that followed Jesus who were from the Jewish nation, that proves how few people there were that followed Jesus. So he says, what are these like? Now there's something that's, as he is praising John the Baptist, he is saying something else, that he who is in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And what is meant by this? If you remember the first hour of your Agabea, right, the gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and him was light, and the light was the light of him, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light. Right? So you go out because you see this person who is living in such an antithetical way with you, obeying all of the laws, being assiduous in every one of his activities and representations, and he's pointing. He's like a signpost. He's like a flashing sign. And they didn't respond. Okay. But then it gets to this point of how is it that this great, great person, John the Baptist, is less than whoever is in the kingdom of God? And it's because John the Baptist did not have what Jesus was going to give to everyone who came to him. That includes us. If you are looking for something uplifting, you have a gift in you that is greater than the one that was given to John the Baptist. See, it says in that first hour, Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, meaning the Jews. But as many as received him, that's us, the Gentiles of that time, and some few Jews, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. This is entirely what John the Baptist did not have, in the sense that God gives this power, which is the Holy Spirit. He gave this power to become the sons of God. The sons of God. It's not because of blood. You know how important blood was to the Jews? Your lineage, who was your father, who was your grandfather, who was your great-great-grandfather. Genealogies went all the way back, and if you bother to read the gospel, you find out that in the beginning was this, and then there was this, and then there was this, and here's David, and he's showing up now, and then Jesus Christ. Genealogies were very, very important. Family tree, very important. But born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To be born of God is different. St. John the Baptist was born of woman, not born of God. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are born of God. It's a different thing. Now, we may not use it. Do you know there's a bunch of smart guys that I have known in my life that were just as dumb as a bag of hammers? They were just dumb. Every choice that they made was bad. I had a good friend, Robert Zachary Milstein. He's still alive and he's living up in Washington State. He's a Jew. And at one time he was trying to entice me to help him kill his father. This is true. Now, his father had survived the concentration camps. His father had a tattoo with a serial number on his body. But when they got into a fight at some point in his young adulthood, Bob and his father bit him. I mean, you know, when I say bit, I don't mean a nip. I mean like something is hanging on you like an alligator. This is what I'm talking about. And this guy, he went all through chiropractic school, completely through all to LACC. He went through it. And at the end, they wouldn't give him the degree. And he hired a lawyer, and the lawyer sued LACC. And he, anyway, before I throw him under another bus, Bob did everything wrong in his life. He did everything wrong. And he was smart. He was so smart. And he had a great aesthetic. He could tell you about architecture and art and furniture. I mean, furniture like, do you know what Chippendale is? I mean, maybe you've heard the name, but you're not quite sure what it means. He could tell you all about things of that nature. You know, we would sometimes go up in Pasadena and take a look at the houses that great architects had built. And all great houses have a name. He said, well, that's the blank house, right? I'm saying these things to you because you all possess a gift. You have this gift inside you. But how often do you use it to push away from the materialism and from just the fluff of life? You know, I see people sometimes, and they're looking at an outdated kitchen, right? It's an outdated kitchen, and the woman is saying to the man, it's an outdated kitchen. Well, the man looks at her and says, does the refrigerator work? Yeah. Does the stove work? Yeah. How about the garbage disposal? Yeah, that works. Well, how about the trash compactor? Does that work? Yeah, that works. The dishwasher, does the dishwasher work? Yeah, the dishwasher works. What do you mean outmoded? If all those things are working, you know, that's a good thing. For some reason, my hot water heater had a hiccup. I went and looked at it, and I called my wife. I said, I think we have to get a new hot water heater. Well, it decided, maybe because of my verbal threats, that it would start working again. But we've had that hot water heater since 1992. And I started thinking, how long is an average hot water heater supposed to last? You know, that's 27 years, right? Coming up on 28 years. You know, but I'm not going to get rid of it because it looks ugly. I'm going to get rid of it when it stops working, when it no longer functions as it's supposed to function, whether we had it for 10 years or if we have it for 30 years. But people will look at it and say, well, I look at that old thing. That's looking tacky. Oh, that's bad. Or you look at some furniture that you've had in your house for a while and you say, well, I can't have that. Look at that stuff. That's ridiculous. No, that's not John the Baptist, is it? That's not John the Baptist. And the things that the Jews were spending their time accumulating, who got them? Who got all those things? Where is all that wealth today? That's not in the hands of the Jews, as can the spirit is one to tell you. It moves. All it takes is just one bad investment. What's the name of that family that they are the scions? It means they're the kings of this pharmaceutical agency, and they were the ones who created all that oxycodone. Can't remember the name of the it's a big pharma family. Anyway, so they know that they're going to get sued back into the into the dark ages. So they took $2 billion and moved it off into foreign accounts in Switzerland and other places. You know, but in the days of the Jews, there was no way to manipulate money in that fashion. You know, and at $2 billion sounds like a lot. I know it would be a lot for me. As a matter of fact, if you know anybody that wants to give someone $2 million, I propose that I should be the candidate, because I wouldn't keep it all for myself. But the amount that they were going to lose on future sales and things like that was giant, giant. I remember when AIG failed. I don't know if you ever remember AIG. This is the time when derivatives had caused banking and loan concerns to just plummet. And a man was on Charlie Rose, and he said, "What are you worth now?" Because the man was a multi-billionaire. He says, "Virtually nothing. You know, maybe $100-200 million. I'm going, $100-200 million. Boy, how would I be on their books? You know, I'd be a sinkhole asset, if you don't know that in accounting. But yeah, that's what I would be, a sinkhole asset. Something that you pour money into and it just goes straight on down. But it's an asset because it's yours. Anyway, we don't have to live a life where we are thinking about how to make ourselves rich in things that we are never going to be able to take with us. So the Lord said, look, here is this man that has lived so perfectly. He has so many great things. He has just one thing that he needs. One thing that he needs, and by all his efforts, he cannot get by himself. He cannot get this by himself. He can get this only through the power of God. Now, of course, the Lord is going to dignify him beyond all, and we in the church do today. The Holy Theotokos, the archangels, and John the Baptist, in that order. These are the ones that we venerate most highly. So John the Baptist received everything, but until he received the gift that the Lord was going to give to him, he was least, below least in the kingdom of heaven. But we've received that. So how should we act? I asked this question one time, a long time ago. If we are receiving the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and we know the Protestants are not, how come we're just not a whole lot better than the Protestants? If you have God inside you, how come you're just not so much better? And the answer is, or the answer that I've come up with is, we don't use the power. We don't use it. We have it. It's almost as though the man that was given one talent and he hid it in the ground. He was afraid to use that power. We are afraid to use that power. We could say no to anything if we felt like it. If somebody threatened my life, I would not struggle with this as a problem, a great problem to be avoided. I would have a bigger problem if somebody was outside my house with a moving van and they were taking all of my stuff away. That would hurt me more than losing my own life. Right? Now think about how absurd that is. But if you think about yourselves, that's what you're doing now. Because you are trading your life for the money that you earn. And what are you doing with the money that you earn? You are burning it up. And at the end, if you're not burning it up, if you're saving every penny, then you are having a big pile of money over here and a life spent next to be ended over there. What have you done? How have you lived? This is the real crux of the gospel today. How are you living? Are we laughing? Are we mourning? We don't need to do either if we accept Christ. But he said, if you will just do the one thing to the exclusion of the other, you will find me. You will find me. You see, people, Goethe said this, the German philosopher. He said, a fool and a wise man are equally harmless. It's the half-wise that are dangerous. And sometimes we do the thinking for ourselves and not listen to what the Lord is saying about us, who is, after all, our Creator. Remember, without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Jesus Christ was not anything made that was made. We were made with the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. So how should we act? What should our pursuit be? These are all extremely important questions. And that's what the fathers of the church have designed for us to reflect upon, because this is the beginning of our year. And if we take this thing seriously, going forward, we will achieve something. We have another year of life by God's grace. What are we going to do in this? You know, there's almost a forecast that is given for every single business model in the United States. But do you have a personal forecast for your next fiscal or spiritual year? Most of you, the answer is you haven't even thought of it. You don't have any idea. You may have something like, okay, well, my mortgage is going to end on this year, or I'm going to take Social Security on that year, or I'm going to get Medicare, or you know, this is you fitting into a system. What have you constructed for your own life? It's saying, in this year, I want to do, and then you put your list of things. And that will tell you who you are by your hierarchy of needs. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And how you rank the things that you want to do tells you exactly, and everybody else, who you really are. It may be to your great benefit to do this, because you learn something about yourself, and if you don't like what you see, you have a chance to change it. That's why we have this in the beginning of the year. John the Baptist, he did everything to perfection of all men born of women, and that would have been everybody since Adam, for all men born of women, and there is not one that was better than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why? Because the Lord gave power to become his son. So you become sons and daughters of God, your Creator. Sons and daughters. There is nothing that has any meaning on earth in terms of a title that is greater than that. I am the Son of God. You are sons and you are daughters. We then have a commission, and that is to bring dignity to our father and to our generation, meaning our birth. Okay, love you all, and I have to leave, as I said, to go to St. Verena after the service has concluded, so I won't be able to sit and talk with any of you. As normally is the case, I'll do this again when St. John has its festival. That way we will get Abuna Shenouda, Abuna Joseph, and Abuna Andrew over here by hook or crook. I called Anba Soriel, and I didn't receive any word from him. I called him a couple of times. And then I found out Amba Soriel had to leave the United States. He had to go overseas in order to get his green card. So he had to be out of the country in order to receive it. So he's not coming. So the only person who has halfway dedicated himself to being present with us is His Grace Kyrillos. And hopefully we'll be able to have him present at the liturgy and not just at the celebration. Okay, glory be to God forever. Amen.